Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I love it that people take time out of their Sunday and join us. I am looking for my Blog Talk dashboard. Our guest today is a very special guest. I want to make sure that he hears all of the show, my studio. I just need to go in and open his microphone. We were playing a little bit. Oh, come on. Computer. We were playing a little bit of a song about Pittsburgh, PA, and there was music and a guy singing, and it was just, I don't know if it was something that he made up, but we have been told that we cannot play things like that on our shows. But I wanted to play it to you beforehand because I think it's really, really important. Wouldn't you know it? I can't get to my studio. Not taking me anywhere. Dr. Davis, I will keep working on this. Or maybe I'll just stop and take this off because I am aggravated here that I cannot get to the show. So just bear with me a few minutes. Waiting for blogtalk.com to come in. So today we're going to be making a few announcements, but we're going to be talking too about the inability of people who post things on YouTube to be able to post their own stuff. Our guest, like I said, Dr. Mark Davis, MD, he's the author of Obamacare Dead on Arrival. And I cannot figure out why I can't get to my own studio or my dashboard. It'll let me go to other parts, but won't let me open that. Maybe it's because I sent them a letter that they did not appreciate, so I can't even get to that part of running the show. If anybody here knows how to help me, please just chat. We are simultaneously broadcasting, or trying to simultaneously broadcast, but it doesn't seem like they're going to be allowing us to do that. I don't know if I have to log out and back in. Studio staff. Maybe that's what I needed to do. Just bring your staff. Oh, there's one person who's gone and checked on the bringing down Big Pharma. But as you're looking at this simultaneous broadcast, if you want to go directly to listen to what we're doing here and to watch it, go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com. Go to the radio link and then go to Blog Talk Radio. And it'll give you the link to allow you to watch what's going on. So my dashboard. That won't let me in anywhere. If you would like to have, while this is up, if you have questions for our guest, that number this week, 347-850-1407. But to go to my studio, it just will not allow me to and won't allow me to bring on my guest. I will keep working on that. It says it's waiting for Blog Talk. All right, today is December 15th, 2013. We're coming to you from the studios of Sound Health in the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. I cannot call the doctor and get him on the show, I don't think, because it won't let me call in anywhere. It won't let me open the studio. We are not going to do the keynote today because I have something else to talk to you about. You can go to our site and go look at the keynote, and that is the information by way of frequency coming to our planet from outer space. Okay, it's saying there's no data and I have to reload everything. This is kind of crazy. We're not disconnected. One of the things Dr. Davis said was that he was getting static about what was going on the show and on the host. From a couple of different places because they didn't want this information out. And it really looks like they're causing a problem here. Reload, no data. The whole thing is gone. I can see those of you who are still on WebEx with us, and I can still see the chat going on, but this will not allow me to go back into Blog Talk. I'm going to just see if I can reboot everything. And we are going to have this show, so whoever's doing this better just quit. This never, ever happened. My dashboard. My studio. I don't know if they're having trouble or we are. I need to say to everyone that our mission on this show, see that's just sitting there and not allowing me on. Our mission on Sound Health Options is to share information and ideas in support of freedom, integrity, and an authentic life. We concentrate on sharing information specifically about self-health, self-responsibility, and support of humanity. We want to put the idea of health back into healthcare. And Dr. Davis, if you are listening, I'll just open another portion here. I'm going to open a new window and totally go at this from a different direction and see if I can get into this. So you guys are watching now me try to struggle to get into the studio, and it won't let me. It keeps saying nothing received. Well, there is a reason why for that, and it's probably what I'm going to talk about and what's happened to us this week. I need to add something to our mission statement now, that my graduate work is in curriculum and instruction. I can and have taught college. I'm a certified educator, and I am allowed to do training and teaching. My sincere apologies, Dr. Davis. I'm going to give you another number to call, and I'm going to give it on the air. Dr. Davis, 740-698-8118. If you'll call that number, maybe we can get you on the show by using my other line here. It may not be the best. See, just sitting there waiting for Blog Talk to do something, and I've tried to come in every which direction. It'll show me everything else. Hello? Great. Okay, we are not going to be defeated here.
No, not. Move forward. Yes,
it'll give me everything else on my Blog Talk, on my...
We'll get this done.
Yeah, I need to turn this up. Good thing I got two lines, and I'll switch back and forth with the microphone. But I was talking about that we are a nonprofit organization, and we are allowed to do learning things, and we are allowed to educate people. But they're beginning to take things off my Blog Talk and certainly off my YouTube. So I'm making this announcement here that I am a certified educator. And the things that they have taken off make no sense whatsoever. For those of us who were watching, listening on Blog Talk or WebEx before we came on, we played a video about a song that somebody made up about the way people speak in Pittsburgh. Now, in the last few days, it looks like there are hundreds of people who have been kicked off of YouTube or everything has been shut down for them, including people who sang happy birthday to their kids. Because happy birthday, somebody went in and copyrighted it. So I'm going to tell you two things, and then you guys can make up your own mind. There's a fellow by the name of Kevin Bowlerite. See if they'll let me even... Yeah, there's his information. Bowlerite, he has several names here. He was arrested for operating a revenge website. The warrant states 31 counts. He put up a website that he owned and put negative information on it, and then contacted the person that the information was about. And I don't know if he's found guilty, but it charges him with extortion. Some people up to $10,000 he charged them for taking down negative information that he himself had put up. And do you guys not remember, our loyal fans here, that not too long ago, somebody put up negative information about us, and we just refused to pay the blackmail or extortion or whatever it was, and we want to encourage other people who get hit with this to ignore it. Now, this is about YouTube. There is a company called Green Social Associates who just put the kibosh on our stuff on YouTube, and it was an interview with somebody about the words of a song and the lyrics of the song and how it showed that America is squashing creativity. There's been hundreds of these complaints filed by this Evergreen Social Media Associates. We can't find their email. That comes back unknown. We can't find them as an entity. There's no record of any of the copyrights that they say they own about my radio show that we can find anywhere. An attorney can't even find it. We think this is absolutely bogus. And if you want to file a counterclaim, they make you check off, make statements that you'll be doing this and you'll do this and you do this, which essentially you lose all your rights up front. People are being intimidated by this company, and when I went online, there's over 500 people that they have bounced off YouTube. It's an elusive company. They won't get in touch with us. I've now hired a company to go after them and find them, but until we can find them, we can't do much about it. And it says that we can use 30 seconds of music, and that's all that you can use any place of any kind of music, or they're going to file suit. I want to tell you that the wonderful music on our show was written by Tommy Priakas, a genius musical. He can just sit down and play anything, and if you give him three notes, he can put a whole song around it, and he does it instantaneously. I don't know how his brain functions, but that's incredible. So on our show, we are doing education. This show today with Dr. Davis is education. We are a 501c3 federally registered entity. I want to put this disclaimer on there so they cannot stop this very important show that you're going to be hearing about with Dr. Davis. I want to tell you also that we have a new, my site. Here it is. We have a new download for you. The download is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. We will give you the software and how to use it, and 2-hour show, a textbook, because we believe people who are coming back from the services who have PTSD are not getting a fair shake. So we put this down there free for you on our site, soundhealthoptions.com. The one that we have up there that they keep bombing is radiation exposure. Now, that's there free also, with a class, with a textbook, with all the software, so that you can go in and test yourself. Now, they're doing all they can to take over healthcare. Now, I'm doing all I can to put it back in your hands, and this is part of it. The whole struggle to put the decisions back in your hands. I'm going to encourage, it's the Fifth Amendment, for us to have some kind of constitutional amendment and get rid of some of the garbage and things that are happening, and Obamacare is just one of them. Our guest, Mark Davis, MD, that I have on my second line here, and we're going to be hopping back and forth on this microphones here. He practices in Maryland, and I'll let him talk about himself because I am so ticked off about all of this, I can hardly stand it. He's written a book, Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster. He discusses in detail the horrific legislation concerning health care and what it's done to the bowels of Washington. I want to know why these people who made this law are allowed to exempt themselves. So I'm going to have to move some phones around here. You guys will hear some stumbling and bumbling. I can't move them too close because they'll squeal. Dr. Davis, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate being on the show.
Tell us about this most precious book, this most needed book that you've written and why you wrote it.
I practiced medicine for over 30 years, stepped aside recently to write. By training, two subspecialties. I grew up in New York City and went to school there. Now I live in Northern Maryland, right near the Pennsylvania border. My daughter was out in Pittsburgh, by the way, and sometimes we go to Carnegie Mellon, also postgrad. You mentioned Pittsburgh. My intent I'm writing in, I've owned and operated healthcare facilities, which would be nursing homes, emergency facilities, stuff like that, but I have an intricate knowledge from that experience to deal with government and government functions, and how they parse money, how they try to control the medical practices of doctors and control hospitals, that kind of thing. Noted in the state of Maryland as an example, the medical board here is 21 members, 8 members are not physicians, so it's basically a political board. The head of the board of medicine here in Maryland is a lawyer, not a doctor, believe it or not. That could easily be found. Also, the head of the medical society is a lawyer. So we have lawyers entrenching themselves within the medical system. Obamacare, Dead on Arrival, A Prescription for Disaster, was written because the media itself is one-dimensional and only goes to...
Hello?
Oh, good grief.
Are you still there?
I'm still here. I don't...
Obama said the NSA after I was should be doing this show today.
Have you been getting this kind of garbage all along?
Yeah. It just depends on the second line. The first one, I could hear you, you couldn't hear me. But the Obamacare specifically, is not being fully vetted in the media in general. I've done multiple shows in the last week or two, and some were left-leaning, and they just don't get it. They talk about exchanges, which are horrific, but the worst part is to calm the regulatory structure phase two, and they try to implement 2,000 pages of regulations on hospitals, doctors, nursing homes, and whatnot, and that's what's really going to cause people to have problems. And anybody who thinks they're getting medical care for free, think again. This is not going to be what has been advertised by government. Obama, Congress, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, those people. That's why they've exempted themselves, because they know it's not quality care. They know they're not going to get what they need in case they have a medical, a dire medical emergency. And we know that. We wrote it in the book. We saw that. I'm president of Davis Book Review, the Ultimate Review Services. I review stuff for physicians. They send the stuff to me. We've done as much as we had a Nobel laureate did a paper out in New York City, and a Nobel, two people, someone who was nominated for it. And so we do a lot of work in the medical field and review. So we go and look at Obamacare. And Obamacare is several thousand pages of regulatory structure. And you know, when the government writes something like that, it should be 6 pages, 8 pages, 10, 12, 15 pages, so people can understand it. This law was written end-to-end by lawyers, with a few doctors thrown in. Ezekiel Manuel, the brother of Rahm Emanuel from Chicago, is in there, and he's a Harvard theorist, nothing more. He wrote algorithms for this law that are fundamentally flawed, and so they knew up front that the law is going to fail. They knew up front the exchanges are not going to work. They had 3.5 years to implement it. Remember, March 23rd, 2010 is when the major piece of Obamacare legislation came into being. They had that long, and they still can't get it right. So imagine now jumping to the next step, trying to control over 6,000 hospitals, 900,000 physicians, 3 million nurses, millions more auxiliary people, pharmaceutical companies, thousands of clinics, tens of thousands of doctors' offices. It's impossible. They cannot do it. And what's going to happen is it's going to be a disbursement of health care. People that really need it on the ends of life will not be getting it. It'll be concentrated more in the middle of the road. And that's what we see. That's why I wrote this book. To illuminate people's minds through examples, through actual examples, through emergency rooms, through streets where the emergency vehicles cannot get to the people that they need because there's so few of them in some cities. And it goes on and on, and people should look at the book, review the book, see what life really is under Obamacare, and they would understand. They would understand specifically, you're not getting what you need. This is not a survival guide. That when I saw someone wrote a very good book called the Obamacare Survival Guide, I don't know what survival he was talking about, because they're taking money away from Medicare, up to $75 billion a year. Someone has suffer under that. When there's more people introduced to a system mathematically and there's a set number of providers, something has to give. And what that give is, unfortunately, if you don't like the word, it's called rationing.
I've got several questions coming in from our chat. George, could you give us some feedback on what this the sound is like? We may have to redo this interview off air with Dr. Davis and put it up in its full so every word he says gets out to the people. One of the things TJ is saying, O-Care, he's calling it, is a stepping stone to what they wanted to initiate. It was designed to fail to initiate the second phase of their plan. Is that something you can talk about?
Absolutely, yes. He is absolutely correct, and he's a very smart caller. The caller understands, and as many people do, it was designed to fail because they want a one-payer system, and I'm sure the caller is aware of that. And then that's what it was. They cannot take this kind of legislative effort done by probably thousands of people, and one side of it collides with some other side of the legislation. So they knew the intricacies of it was so grandiose, and the idea is so large to try to apply to a population of 316 million people, it has to fail. And it is failing, and they want the government itself to control all health care. They want all private insurance companies to either disappear and or manage the health care system through the government. In other words, they would collect the money and then disperse them back to the government. The government will tell us what kind of health care we can get. But they do not believe that the American population knows what's best for them. They think they know what's best for them, and they don't. So the call is absolutely right. And if you look at the legislation, they've corrected it a number of times. They've added, subtracted, and Obama specifically has written executive orders to change it. And now he's changing legislation that he's not allowed to do under executive order, which has been talked about by conservative legal times throughout the last year. Yet he's done that because it can't work, and it's not working, and the exchanges are not working. And that's a minimal, unfortunately, it's a horrible exchange, but that's a minimal part of all this. It takes up a few pages of the several thousand parts of the document. So that's what we see, and the call is right, very correct.
So just about control, I want to make the statement that one of the things that we're doing, we have 71 softwares that people can talk into and get a report back, a management report, on if they've been exposed to radiation or do they have the precursors, biomarkers for cancer. We're trying to set up a network of guardian people that can put information back into the hands of the people. I personally ran into rationing and stupidity in the emergency room. I went in for a inflamed bowel, and they gave me a dose of a Cipro, and since I had blood sugar issues, and that's not allowed, you don't give Cipro to somebody who has a blood sugar issue because it exacerbates symptoms, and they put me in a state of full-blown diabetes just because of their stupidity, and they didn't check anything. So the question here, two things. One, are they just not being careful? They don't care anymore? Is it discouraging to doctors? Is there such dumb regulations that they have to follow those and not do what they know is right? How is this affecting doctors and nurses and just care?
This is an excellent question. Let me elaborate on it. Here in Maryland, this is a small example. I'm talking about most of the states, but here in Maryland, there was a doctor who did stents. Now, a stent improves on a blockage in an artery, and it opens up the artery, and if you have a blockage. So the standard, the so-called standard of care, if you have an artery blocked 70% or more, you can put a stent in. But people come in with chest pain, shortness of breath, dizziness, lightheaded, who have 60% blockage, 58%. Some people have a minor heart attack. But the rule comes in here in Maryland, if it's not 70%, you're a fraud. The doctor needs to have that ability to make that decision for that patient. But now the doctor will be sued. One doctor here, Mark Madej, had made national headlines, and I know him. Thousands of patients now claim that they had needless stents done because the lawyers are telling them they had needless stents. People come in with chest pain. They were all reviewed, all gone through pathological conference. All the hospital has this conference on these kind of cases and stuff. It validated what he did, and out of nowhere now, this guy's been sued horribly because his decision-making capacity is being challenged by the lawyers and people who literally jump in front of a bus to make a couple of bucks. That's just one case. The doctor needs to be able to make the decision, and people come back and say, hey, look, there are bad doctors. There's bad people in every field, not just in the doctor's field. And it's just doctors taking advantage of their patients in any way, they should be challenged in any number of ways you can think of. But not this wholesale attack on the medical community, which is happening right now. Now, the Obamacare legislation is a fantasy land for lawyers. It empowers them in so many ways to sue us, and it would curtail the doctor's right to do what he needs to do to get the patient well. As an example, in the law, people don't know this. Federal government empowered state attorney generals to allow them to hire private attorneys the Chase people, they didn't pay the fee. They're not doing the regulatory structure properly at the job, as an example. They're not paying the penalties, whatever. So private lawyers now can get a piece of the action as well. So you can have a letter from your neighborhood lawyer who's friends with the Attorney General's office, and you're going to be paying him. Of course, it's part of the lawsuit is his legal fees. It's crazy. It shouldn't be, and it's not been told to the public. What the media has done is one-dimensional. They look at the beach and watching the tidal wave come at them. And they're not talking about the tidal wave. They're only talking about the shoreline. And there's a lot of smart people on all kinds of radio sites that I've talked to that ask excellent questions about this because they can't believe it. And I said, it's there. It's coming. Talk to guys at the ground level who wrote the book, who had help from the publishers to put the book out, and getting slack all over the place about this book. Because of the truisms, and they know it's true. The references are checked. The references are right in the paragraphs of the book. Let me give you one more example. In Philadelphia one night, the excellent reporting done by ABC and some of the other local stations about ambulances being insufficient in the city that year, I think it was 2010. And people died that night. There was like 500,000 people in the city, and there were like 3 ambulances on for the whole night. And it goes through all the rationale. Why, if you have lots of people and reduced resources to take care of them, this is the kind of tragedies that happen. And that's what's going to happen under Obamacare. I'm not against friends from south of the border. That's not the issue. The issue is they have to come in here correctly, but they're overburdening the health care system. And there needs to be another conduit to take care of those people. But we don't have the system right now. So the system didn't even overhaul, and needed to tune up because 85% or more people were at least satisfied with the levels of care they were getting. So why do you take apart a system like that? There's only one reason, because they want to have a core structure that controls everything, and that's what's happening. You can't control, imagine Obama and his people, not physicians, telling them how to put a Band-Aid on, or the multiplicity of things that go on in the emergency room at one night, somebody got chemotherapy overdose, or suicidal people. They're going to try to regulate this stuff. That's crazy. And people should go against it. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Libertarian, or whatever. It's a bad bill.
What can we do? The only thing I can do is help people take health care into their own hands and do these educational shows like this. But can we do something with our legislators?
Well, you know what we can do? Let me tell you. I'm a middle-class guy, believe it or not. We're just sitting in the basement of middle-class house right now. We wrote a book. He's having a lot of flack, and the major media will not let me on yet for some reason. And I see garbage books going off there. This is a very important book written by a whole bunch of people to put it together, including the Amazon publishers up there. And we're getting a lot of distortion. And if we can get enough people to obtain this copy of this book, we can put commercials either on YouTube and or in reality and show them what the cover shows. The cover shows a cemetery with headstones that say victims of Obamacare. And people need to see this cover. If they don't see anything else, it should be flashed all over the place. This is what's coming down the pike. It's just hard to conceive for people to understand that their own government is working against them, but they are. This is not a conspiracy theory. I'm part of the system that helped make this the system work. As of 900,000 doctors, almost 3 million nurses, nurse practitioners. Nurses are, and nurse practitioners, they are the cement of the system. Without them, there's no system, but the physician is still the brick. And the doctors are being hit hard. If you don't follow the line, the agenda from the government, you're going to find yourself in a court of law. You're going to find 70 doctors against you. You need to take your health care into consideration. You, as an individual, need to take control. You cannot have any government agent or entity do it for you because they're not in your best interest. And now the IRS has huge hammers to come after you if you don't pay your fees. Or you don't have the proper, even if you pay your fees and you don't have the proper policy, they still could come after you. It's insane.
Well, it looks like the Internet has some control here also. I'm going to make a commitment to this. One, we're going to redo your show and put it on our front page. We are looking at your Amazon book, the people that are on with us through WebEx. We're looking at your book. I will send you a list of all the radio shows that I know would have you on in an instant. People who have had us on, we have links to some national and international shows. This is important. We're going to get this out to the people.
It's very important. It has to get out to the people. And people say, oh, you're making all this money. I registered as a healthcare patient, obvious, and it said I had never used the registration. I keep it current. Somebody wrote up, went up on Amazon, a guy named Steve. Did not do a book review. Wrote a political assassination of me up there. I don't know who he is. He's lucky I don't know who he is. I can tell you that people starting to get the book and put reviews up there of a positive nature, but Amazon will not take it down for some reason. And we've asked, I've had people who are public, in the publishing field, in the radio field, people that have syndicated shows, all have contacted Amazon, and they have not still taken that down. And it's a real shame because it deters people from buying and or potentially getting the book. And that's a real shame what they've done. And I didn't expect this to happen like this. I can understand people being against the author because he wrote his book like this, but review the book and put a negative review up. If you don't put a review up of a person that is completely fallacious and a lot of untruth, and that's what we're up against here. So we need to get this out, and I'm going to do as much media as I can possibly do, and I'm always happy to come on your show or you do whatever you choose to do, just to let people know, because you know, more people are listening on the internet now than they're listening anywhere else on terrestrial radio. We know that. So people, some people have huge followings on the internet, and that's great. And I hope it expands and extends. I get my news off the internet. I don't get my news from any of the terrestrial sources. I don't care for them because they're all one-sided and whatever it is. I want to balance his opinion. That's what you're going to get from shows like this.
We can put a writing campaign together, say, to Fox News and Megyn Kelly. If our people will agree to just write there, I'll get the address, I'll put it out on our forum, and we'll just suggest that your book be there. But the other thing that people are suggesting is that we head something by amendment, that we go in for a constitutional amendment and say things like Congress can't make these laws, Obama can't do this.
Well, Mark Levin wrote a book about liberty amendments and things like that. Bless his soul, he's a great conservative, etc. He worked in the Reagan administration. These people who work for Reagan administration get radio shows. He has a huge following, and he needs to understand the Liberty Amendments are old stuff. It's just old stuff. Obamacare is the new stuff. We need to talk more about it. We need to get the word out there. I don't know how I would get on this show. These kind of national shows should be broadcasting this information instead of cookbooks from actresses and silly things that they've been putting up there. I've been watching. Megyn Kelly has a great word. She's smart. She was attacked literally by Ezekiel Emanuel, one of the architects of Obamacare, on there. And I was just looking at the screen, and I just wanted to squeeze that little guy's neck. What a lousy person he was to treat her such a negative fashion. She was absolutely correct about Obamacare. They were talking about the constructive Obamacare, about the exchanges failing. And one of the major points that she was saying is you're able to keep your own doctor. He said, we never said that. And they're playing Obama saying that. He's denying it right on the air.
It's just stupidity. I think they think if they say it enough, people will begin to believe it. We've got people writing to me privately and openly on our chat saying they've gone in and they're putting up a report about the abuse.
Yeah, people could go up there, write a comment. If they have an Amazon account, and put a kind word up there about the Obamacare, that Unrivaled Prescription for Disaster book, it would go a long way to help our cause. And our cause is to get this legislation either amended and or pulled completely. There's a number of groups out there that I've approached. I won't give their names right here, right now. I don't want to denigrate anybody. But they claim that they're right-wing conservative and stuff, but when you look at the nitty-gritty of these, some of these groups, they're not saying all they do is raise money for whatever, and you don't even know where that money goes from. And I'm beginning to believe that if we don't, as individuals, every one of us, every one of the chat rooms, everybody who's listening, doesn't do something, we're going to be stuck with this bill. We have a very, very bad Congress right now. There are a few leaders in there, and we need a change. We need a big change in 2014. 2014 should be a metamorphosis, if you will, for Congress. But what's in there right now, now we have a bad economic bill that just passed a couple of days ago. We have a bad health care bill that continues. Immigration is allowing more people in here. And people look at the dynamics of what they're doing. Much of it moves to the left, unfortunately. And I think the Congress is just tired of fighting with Obama. He's getting his way. If he doesn't get his way one way, he's going to get it to write an executive order. This is what we call tyranny. This is what we call repressing the public, pretty much. And it has its roots years and years ago prior to Obama. It's kind of control. It's just put it in an exponential fashion. Obamacare, get under Rob Oakley's Christmas disaster, is what is here right now in front of you. And when you go to that emergency room come 2014, instead of being treated the way you should be treated, there's all kinds of rules and regulations for doctors not to treat, and that not to treat is how they save the money. And I could spend hours on this if you guys want to do it some other time. I just don't want to bore everybody with the technicalities of it. It's there. The book has it. And the book talks about the Canadian system, about the Romney care system that was put up, and all kinds of how it is to go through medical, what doctors have to go through, that your nieces, your nephews, your moms, whoever the doctor in your family, once they had to go through the strife to get that MD, and as soon as they get out of school, they are targeted by these lawyers. There's a big target on your back, and that's what I see. And the judicial system, in many states, like the state of Maryland, tend to go against physicians here. We're the ones that are paying their taxes and paying their salaries and stuff, and they beat us down. And I've seen so many doctors just get so demoralized they will leave practice. Excellent physicians. We've helped thousands and thousands of people. And the thing is, it's not always going to be a positive outcome on every patient. I wish it was, but that's fantasy land. And the public needs to understand that we do the best we can, 99% of us, but sometimes it just doesn't turn out that way. Nature,
I want to catch people up on a couple of things. One, you talked about Mark Levin. He's the one that got the law, or his situation, got the law in New York, the Levin law, that what happens between you and your doctor is your business. They tried to trump up charges on him and get somebody to testify against him that turned on the government in court. But the devastating thing is he lost his practice, he lost hundreds of thousands of doctors. So you do something like you're doing, and they'll come after you. IRS, any other direction?
Sure. You're absolutely right. I've been ordered it like a half a dozen times. I don't make a lot of money. What kind of money do I make? I live in a middle class house here in northern Maryland, out in the woods somewhere. I don't have a lot of money. I drive a 2001 RAV. They come after me regularly. They go after people that I work in the media. Excuse me. I've written 300 articles on all kinds of stuff, healthcare politics, things like that. They read this stuff, and before you know it, I find my name here, there, on this list, that list, just against me. Anything they can do, just like that little piece up on Amazon, which hopefully we can drown out as a group.
Well, I'm looking at the...
Correct. You are right on it, 100%.
I'm looking at the Kindle version, which I just downloaded and will spend my time reading it, but let's go back to the other versions. Maybe I can't, and show people what they're doing. Here is the paperback version. Now on Kindle, there is no negative reviews.
No, it's up on the other reviews. The one review up there that somebody put up there with one star. That's not even a review. It's a negative diatribe against. They may not like my political writings that are read by thousands and tens of thousands of people. Every time I write an article, he may be a competing author. I don't know. He may be a publisher's representative. He may be a minion from the Obama administration. I just don't know. I mean, people seem to come out of the woodwork when you're trying to do something positive. They try to pull you down any way they can. And this is unfortunate for someone, some garbage like this. I mean, the public knows they've had their own experiences with negative people, and there are lots of negative people in society, and no matter what you try to do to help them out, they're still going to be negative, so that's what this is. And I wish I would find out who this guy is. I really like to know if it's a competing author or something like that. I've complained. Lots of people who are have well more force than I do have complained about this particular one-star deal, because the other people that are coming on board like the book. They think it's a good book. It's not Fitzgerald. It's not August Huxley. It's not a high piece of literature. It's an informative book. That's what it was designed for. Just like my other books, they're informative books. And that's all. We wrote a book called Demons of Democracy. It has a very unique cover. People get to see it. They can try to figure out who's on the cover. And came out in 2011, which is still current, old information. And it goes into stuff that's been going on and on and on and on. And part of it has talks about healthcare and how lawyers have controlled healthcare all these years, all these decades. And now they're entrenched with it. I mean, probably a third of the legal profession makes their salaries just going against physicians, hospitals, nursing homes.
Obama is an attorney. I have lots of friends who are attorneys, and they say they are seeing a total trend, and always have seen it, that if you don't have any evidence, you attack the person. That's what they're doing. But on the other side of this, as many people as go in and read this and comment on it, you move up in Amazon standing. So we're going to look at that and see.
Yeah, if we can get a billion people up there, that would go a long way if we can earn enough revenue from this book. It's not expensive book. And we're going to do some commercials on it, and people will begin to understand what they're up against. No one has done any commercials against Obamacare that I've seen, unless the public, the people in the chat room, or somebody who knows about it. I don't know. I haven't seen them up on YouTube. I haven't seen them up on other video places or on the TV. But if we do something that is like the cover of this book, which is done by a commercial artist, hopefully with the surfaces, we can make a real impact against this stuff. I'm going to send some copies up to the Congress to look at as well. But I just wrote some more copies for the book. So hopefully we can make a big impact doing radio, doing shows like this. We're really, really good to do and get the word out. And we really appreciate it, by the way.
We have a question from our audience that says, I've heard that the IRS is going to be making decisions about health care. Is this true?
Yeah. What they do is they have the hammer, the financial hammer. They don't specifically make decisions about health care. What they do is it forces you to move in one direction. As an example, a young person they're telling you needs to go out and buy insurance so they can support the person on the opposite end of the age group. If he doesn't do that, the IRS has the ability to go after you for the penalty. They can't do much right now. Their hammer is very, very small right now for the individual. In other words, they can't ruin your house, your car, your loans in your bank, whatever. But the IRS specifically has no ability under the present legislation, the way it's formatted, to make any health decisions for you. They have the ability to make financial decisions for you. Let's say you're an employee with more than 60 people. If you have less than 49 people, they can't do anything to you and you don't have to carry insurance for people. I think it's a good idea for employers to help people have insurance. That's not the issue. The issue is when it's forced down on you. For the 50 or more person to be hammered very badly with penalties that can really destroy a company if they're not paid. So it's the financial hammer that they have that forces you to buy a product that you may not want. Not the ability of the IRS right now to do treatment plans or tell hospitals what to do, what not to do, insurance companies what not to do, in terms of the health care that they provide. But they do it on the other side by putting penalties and sanctions against the hospital doctors and all that stuff if they don't do the financial aspects of the IRS responsibility. It's more complicated than this, just forcing people to buy insurance. As an example, the insurance companies have to have certain types of paperwork in that they're not spending more than 15% on administrative costs, just as an example. Okay, so if you spend 13%, you're holding that money and you're not telling the government that you're holding on to that extra 2% or whatever, which could be millions. you could be sanctioned very badly by the government, up to $1 million a day in some cases, and it's all enumerated in the book, in the legislation as it stands right now. So the polls are very intuitive in terms of the IRS has a certain ability on the financial assets, but not on the medical assets as of yet. But that could change with an executive order. So great question. That's a really great question.
I'm going to give you two examples of things that people need to be concerned about. When I turned 65, we got a letter from our insurance company saying that we had to sign up for Medicaid or Medicare, I can't remember which one, or we could not continue having insurance with them, and we've had this insurance for almost 40 years through my husband's work with a telephone company. And when we went in to sign up, they required, one, that I give them all my banking information because they're going to direct deposit, and two, that they be allowed to go into my bank account at any time they so please. So what I do when that money comes in, I take it out in cash and I spend it the way I want to spend it, because I think that's just their way of trying to monitor what people are doing. So my way around it, when I just yelled and screamed, you don't have access to my account, and they said, well, you're not getting anything, and in that case, I don't get any insurance. So I take the money out, and I would encourage other people to do that, too.
I don't think people really understand what exchanges do. First of all, you don't even know what you're exchanging your money for, because there are no set policies out there exactly what Obama wants in those policies. Secondly, people that have been applying on the exchanges and putting their money out, the money that may not even be getting to the right place, they may not even have insurance. They have to go behind the exchange, call the insurance company, make sure there's a policy in force, get the physical policy from them. They said 25% of people were giving their bank account numbers away and it was being hacked. And there's this article this morning up on Drudge, if people go to Drudge and they'll see it, about people hacking these kinds of accounts, and the government is applying the money, and the government is going in and taking the money, not supplying anything. It's a very convoluted process and still not working. Now, 14 states have their own exchanges. Here in Maryland, it failed miserably. It spent over $100 million to what, I don't know. And what do they have for it? They have nothing to show for it. The head of the Maryland exchange quit. The second head is up on charges. It's insane. The 14 states, as far as I know, have their own exchanges. They're not working well. The federal exchange is not working well. Yet they have the audacity to put these things online before they were ready to go. And then if you can't get through, you're still subject to the penalties. So insanity on top of irrationality is what we have in front of us right now. So
people need to know that if you can't get through, you're still subject to the penalties. So they are fining us for something that they won't tell us the rules for or allow us access to.
Now, the Supreme Court, June 28, 2012, said, no, you can't use the commerce law, which allows interstate commerce to force you to buy insurance, but they can use their taxing authority to get what they want. And that's how Justice Stevens left it in. So right now, the Supreme Court allowed Obamacare to go on based on the federal government's taxing authority. But that could change. Within the structure of the ruling, which is in the book, Justice Stevens' ruling is at the addendum in the book, he left the window open for them to come back in and relitigate this, because the taxing authority, the specific part of the bill, hasn't gone into effect yet. By 2014, it will. So that will give initiation to more workers to go back to the Supreme Court. But people don't understand that there have already been a dozen new taxes applied. Some of them have nothing to do with health care at all. And where that money is going to be going, I have no idea. Most people could posture it's going to the economy structure around it. And again, we know we need a social net in case people fail, poverty, children be fed, things like that. No one's arguing that. But this huge social network of entitlements that are out there is killing America. And if the government fails, if the money fails, the entitlement system fails. This is a logic from one to the other. So if capitalism fails and being suppressed by a government, there's not enough money coming in, and eventually what happens in Greece is going to happen here. What happened in Spain, Portugal, and other countries is going to happen here.
I have two more questions, and then I want to talk to you about people getting in touch with you. One, this was on the news last night. Obamacare regulations has deemed that if firefighters or anybody who's a volunteer works more than 30 hours, that the company they're volunteering to must provide health insurance to them. That is stupid. These people are not employees, yet the law states that these volunteer fire departments that are on a shoestring already have to supply health care for them. So they either cut back on the amount of hours they work, or they lie, as people are encouraging them to do, or we have no firefighters out here in the middle of nowhere when we can barely support the truck and the gasoline. Obamacare made this possible for you folks.
Yeah, well, Obama should have heard, he has to know this, and what he should have done is put one of those executive orders that he's amended the other pieces of the legislation and stopped this immediately. It's insanity. All the fire departments across the country, about 88%, I understand, are volunteer or partially volunteer companies. And these guys deserve better, and these gals deserve better, and they're not getting it. Somebody in Congress should have the, allow me to use some language, forgive me, folks. It's a honies. Go in, write a piece of legislation, and run that through Congress in an hour to stop that kind of nonsense. Because we're going to need our firefighters. We always need our firefighters. Union, non-union, whatever. There's all that nonsense out there. We need our firefighters. We need our police. We need our sanitation people. We need our protective authorities out there. And what they're doing is crippling the most needed people in this country, and that firefighters especially, may not need them for 50 years, but you need them for that one instant. And that's what they're there for, to help us out. And they're a bunch of good people on call. Most of these guys are on call 24/7. I don't know if people realize the system for volunteer firefighters. I've heard some of the interviews. I understand their plight, and Congress should have picked that up immediately. But they didn't, because they're a lame Congress. Without any backbone, they're all a bunch of yellow bellies up there.
Can we, the people, or if anybody here on chat, if we the people can start a movement against Obamacare, but we're running out of time here, but I want to ask you a question. I don't know if you can answer. Take all the money that has been shoveled down this rat hole for putting Obamacare together and paying for these commercials, stupid commercials. How many people could they have covered for a year who didn't have health care in the first place?
Millions. And you know why? It was $600 million. Just to put the failed exchange together. They've been pumping commercials about this everywhere. Bilingual commercials. And there's even commercials outside the country. I understood that there was a commercial in Mexico about health care here for America. It's unbelievable. So that's the first level. The mechanism, the bureaucracy that they're setting up already has cost billions of dollars. Now think of how much money the average guy costs for insurance. What, $5,000 a year, $10,000 a year for instance. Individual, then multiply that for how many people could it be covered in. And you go into the tens of billions of dollars. The bureaucracy itself is costing more than the health care being provided. It's crazy. So it's a great question. The numbers are out there, and we don't know. I mean, no one knows, but I would say millions right now from this pulpit and where I'm sitting. So that's, again, what we cover in the book. The waste. Government's going after doctors who are they claim we're wasting money or cheating the system. And I grant you there's a small percentage of crooks in my field and in every other field. But the vast majority of physicians and nurses and nurse practitioners and whatever, they do a good job and they should be rewarded, not be penalized by something with garbage like this. And that's how I look at it. And hopefully we'll get the word out even more.
Look at what the IRS did and sent billions of dollars to the same address in some eastern country, probably for gun running. And if they're so stupid to do that and send it to dead people and the people in jail that don't deserve it, they're certainly not deserving of taking care of our most precious health.
There was a group in Florida, I believe it was in Guatemala, but I'll correct me if I'm wrong, were getting tens of millions of dollars in false claims for Medicare How they did this, how the government could not pick that up, I don't understand. And they all dispersed on that. I don't think anybody's been arrested. They went back to their own country. If a doctor is out of line by $10, they'd be down his throat with a SWAT team in a minute. That's the way the system is.
Do you want people to get in touch with you personally, or do you want them to go to your website or Amazon?
If they have a question for me, they can go to PlatoMD@gmail.com. It's PlatoMD@gmail.com, all one word. Plato, I think, is a lot of stuff. If they get a copy of the book and they want to sign it or something, I could be happy to do that. If they want to order a copy through me, that's fine too. PlatoMD@gmail.com. It's basic charge. I think the book is $12.99 up there on Amazon, something like that. It's really inexpensive. The book is available through Barnes & Noble, most bookstores. If they don't have it, they'll order it. If they order enough copies, they'll carry it in stock. So people can see it. And we don't have the crowd that a Marco did have by having a show that broadcasts all over the country. So we work very hard get our word out. And our word is a good word. It's a solid word. It's something that people should read and understand what's coming to America right now. And if the full brunt of it has not hit the country yet. The tidal wave, which is phase two, is coming. So you can get the book most places just by ordering it or go to Amazon. If you go to Amazon, please put a little excerpt up there how you feel your opinion. Your opinion carries a lot, believe it or not.
We have a comment by one of our very loyal listeners, George H., and he says it costs a dollar to access that list of people in prison, people who are dead. So instead of sending the dollar to access that list, the government spent billions sending money to people they weren't supposed to. That shows the ineptitude, the stupidity of what's going on.
My dad, I guess, passed away many years ago. His social security check kept coming. I told my sisters, my twin sisters, my identical twin sisters, do not spend that money. Put the money in an account. It took them 17 months. We sent them the death certificate and all this stuff. Did everything. There was an attorney in charge next to nothing, but it's all helped us out. And it took 17 months to stop the check from coming. That's how inept these people are. And it's crazy. The ineptitude of the government is so huge. You can't continue. Even if you're a hardened Democrat, even if you're a hardened Libertarian or a Republican or whatever your color of politics is, we have an inefficient government at the minimum, and it's outrageous. And you shouldn't allow them to control your health care. And there's stories in the book about people not getting chemotherapy, high blood pressure, medications, cardiological drugs, things like this. And if we go to the Canadian system, which is improved now, by the way, the Canadian is picking because the privacy, the public system doesn't work as well, but they're letting private practice come in out there, then we're real in trouble. You have to wait 6 months to a year for a hernia surgery.
We have one question. I have to ask you this because it's been on my mind, too. And there are so many people behind you on this chat. It's incredible the things they're going to do for you. But Lisa asks, are there really death panels?
No. Very good question. I'm glad you brought that up. If you allow me just a few minutes on it.
Go.
The historical aspect and perspective. In 2009, Sarah Palin, bless her soul, she came forward and said there's death panels in this legislation. Well, if she had an intuitive insight into something that she may or may not have read, there's no death panel per se. What they do, they reduce the level of care as you get older. They're going to tell you that you don't need this, you don't need that. I cover this in the book. You don't need certain surgeries, you don't need certain medications.
You don't need them or you can't have them?
Well, both. Both, because they've generated studies saying that, let's say for the prostate, as example, as men get older, their prostates get larger, so some men get cancer. It's a long-standing cancer for prostate. Generally, you die from something else, not the prostate cancer. But anyway, so they generate a study saying you don't need this, you don't need mammograms until you're later in life, you don't need cataract surgeries for this. So they delay it. And delaying something that's very needed could cause death in and of itself. So there's rationing to the older people, and what they've done is I described a sequence of words called biological value. As you get older, you have less input into society, you're less valuable to society. It's a horrible thing to say, but that's how they look at it. So if you have a less of biological value because you're not contributing the finances that you did when you were in your working period of time, you should get less care. That is implied within the structure of the Obamacare. So they can't necessarily say, hey, look, you can't have anything. What they do is try to phase things out. They're trying to make it harder for you to get. They create studies that indicate that maybe the validity of this procedure, that procedure, especially in the older age range, is not there. So that's where the death balance comes. Secondly, they've instructed doctors through literature coming from the HHS to discuss end-of-life issues with patients if they want them. There's actual fee, I believe, involved that a doctor gets to pay $30 to try to prepare people to die in their minds in a more appropriate fashion. Not the fashion I would want to. If I find someone, I did geriatrics for years. Remember, I owned an operated health facility. And these are huge facilities in my little corner place. And the government would come and say, you can't have this, you can't do that. Here's how you do this. Their surveyors were trained. They were a nurse or somebody else given a short period of training. And they try to tell the doctors what they have to do. And if you buck them, if you don't do what they want you to do, you find yourself up to charges against the medical board, or you find your Medicare fees reduced or even eliminated. So they have penalties and sanctions in the law. If you don't follow the agenda as the government comes along, you're inhibited in some way. There's no outright death now. What they do is they circumvent that by putting other elements in there that make it seem as they want to expedite you to the next work.
We are there. We've got one person saying if they took away the care, maybe we would actually live longer because of all the iatrogenic and the nosocomial disease.
You want to know how to live longer? I'll tell people. I wrote a book, The Millennium Diet, which was never supposed to be published. It was just for my 4,000-plus patients who ran the spectrum of average people like myself to actresses, actors, judges, police officers, whatever. And there's a finding in the literature now that a high-protein, restricted calorie, low-carb diet, about 10 to 15% fat, may actually help people live long. And they know it in lab animals, it's true. And a restricted diet with high protein helps them. Many lab animals, rat, mice,
what's it called?
Herbivores live longer than their litter mates. So we know there's something to do with diet, and I would advise people to read some of the longevity literature, because it's really interesting. It's bordering on science fiction already. But you're going to have people living well beyond 120, probably within 100 years or less.
And
the average is, like right now, it's like 78 to 80, depending on the society you're in. That will be the norm. Middle age will become 80. It's like you're listening to something really odd and bizarre, but it's not. We're moving in that direction. Through pharmaceuticals and diet, we're going to live a lot longer.
Oh, and it's called Morning what?
The Millennium Diet.
Millennium.
That has a very unusual cover. And if you look at the cover, there was another great commercial artist. We have some very talented people in this country who know how to design book covers.
I'm going to...
It's out there, and I've got to see that. It was on four. It was selling for a while on four different continents, so it's not really possible.
Millennium, George.
Sorry again?
I was just repeating it for somebody in chat.
The Millennium Diet, the Practical Guide for Rapid Weight Loss. The Millennium Diet, the Practical Guide for Rapid Weight Loss. I didn't come on your show to push a book or anything like that. It's gotten very popular, and there's a Kindle. I think there's a Kindle version up there. You get it for $2 if you want it. It's a great little book. It's 120 pages. It's an easy read, and it tells you all the do's and don'ts. If people are on diet pills, as an example, it gives all the structure about diet pills, which ones not to use. Probably 90% of the diet pills out there are phony baloney. They're worthless. There's a few that are worth something, and you should go ahead. That's the book. But the diet itself is constructed by trial and error to thousands of patients. And the patients actually wrote this book, not the doctor here. He was so good to me about it. They tried all kinds of stuff before they came into the Millennium Diet. It's a great little book. It's still current. and it was enjoyed by thousands of people. They really liked it. So I was surprised that there's so many people on this book. Thanks for the patience. Thanks for people like people in chat rooms and stuff. We get our word out too. Sometimes we don't need the big words to help us. Word of mouth is a great thing.
Well, people here love you. We're behind you. We're going to stay in touch. We certainly appreciate you being here. And for those of you who are in our Guardian Network, we are working with fatty liver this evening, and we will be providing that software and education to you online. If you are not a member of our Guardian Network, please go to our site, soundhealthoptions.com, and look under Guardian, and you can see that we just expect you to sign papers saying you're not here to stop this. We'll share with you. Also, on Happy Hour, where we do our work live for our audience, I think this next week we are going to be examining the voices of the people associated with Benghazi and see who's lying. And then the week after that, we're going to be doing information about fibromyalgia. We certainly appreciate you as an audience and being here and putting up with all of this trash that happened with the system that we're trying to use. We are going to stay in touch with Dr. Davis. We're going to redo this whole thing and answer some of your questions, put it up on our site, and we're going to get him on every show that we possibly can. We appreciate what you're doing. We appreciate you being the spearhead out there and willing to take all these hits and all this abuse, and we're going to see to it that you have all of us to fall back on. We love what you're doing. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. My privilege.
If I could find a way to end this show, I would. The studio finally came back up. All right, now I can see I can do it. We're going to edit this. We'll send you a copy, and I'll be writing to you, too. Bye, all. For all of you who are on WebEx with us, I would suggest that you go to the chat, click, do Control-A, and then Control-C for copy. There's a tremendous amount of information and links there. Anybody listening just on Blog Talk, I will send that to you if you'll write me a note. It's just Sherry Edwards, Sharry Edwards, @gmail.com. And hope you're with us next time.